The parables of Jesus are an exciting subject, and we're in Matthew 13 looking at some of these parables that Jesus spoke long ago. I want to look at one, though, in Mark chapter 4, just a real short parable that fits in with these. We read beginning with verse 26, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed upon the earth, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, he knows not how. The earth bears fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When the fruit is ripe, immediately he puts forth a sickle, because the harvest is come." And this parable is a little different. Here a man casts his seed. He sows his seed. And then the parable emphasizes that then the man has done, in a sense, what he can do. There's life in the seed, and that seed grows. And there's kind of a mystery about it, he says. The seed springs up and grows, he knows not how. And as we think here of these parables we've been talking about, you remember the parables of sowing the seed, planting, the parable of the four soils, and then the parable of the two sowers going out to plant. Here an emphasis is laid upon the mystery of growth, the mystery that takes place as the seed, the Word of God, falls upon a heart, a human heart, and how it has life in itself, and it grows, it produces. What a mystery it is. You know, I never cease to marvel as I plant my garden. And I go out and drop those little brown seeds in the row, cover them with earth, water them, and then wait. There's nothing more I can do. If there's life in the seed, then in time there's going to come up that little shoot of green, and in time there's going to be a harvest, because there's life in the seed. But I think the Lord would have us, those of us who are interested in spreading his word, realize there are things we cannot do. We cannot produce faith in the human heart. We can bring the message. We can bring the word of God. We can pray. We can be concerned. But then we have to wait. And we have to wait for the Spirit of God to take that seed, that Word of God, and to cause it to grow in the heart. If the heart isn't resistant, if a person doesn't reject it, then in time that Word is able to produce life. And that's a miracle, isn't it? And there's a mystery in connection with that. I wonder every time when I see someone come to the Lord, what a mysterious thing it is for a person who's been a sinner and who's been hostile and going his own way, and the Word now has taken root in his heart, and it is growing. He has turned to the Lord. There's a change in his life. I was talking to a man the other night who said he'd accepted the Lord last Friday. And he said, "I feel differently now." He said, "I don't feel like going to the bars the way I used to. And there's a difference in my life. The seed has taken root. The seed is growing. There's faith in his heart." And there's a mystery in connection with that. I think the lesson that we need to learn, we who are believers and are concerned to sow the seed and to see others come to the Lord, is that we must learn to be patient. We must learn to trust God. We cannot force growth. And there's a mystery in connection with this. And we must pray, and we must wait, and we must be concerned, but we must realize God is going to make that grow. And we cannot, in ourselves, we cannot produce spiritual life. This is the work of God. Except one be born of the Spirit, the Lord Jesus said. So that there's a lesson for us in this parable. short parable that he introduces here in the Gospel of Mark. Now let's go back to Matthew 13. Remember we've talked about the soils, there are four kinds of soils, and these represent the different heart conditions. The seed is the same. The message of salvation is the same. The Word of God is good. And the person who plants it, we'll say, has sincere desires for all that hear. And certainly God is concerned for all. But there must be that response, that individual response of the human heart. And hearts are different. Now, one of the things we mentioned was the condition can change. If your heart is hard now, or your heart is, we'll say, just cluttered with other things so that you don't have time for the Word, it is possible in the future for your attitude to change and for your heart to change and for you to become one then who is good soil, as the parable puts it, a good and honest heart and a heart that will receive the Word and will be open to what God has to say. And then he spoke of the two sowers. The Lord himself is sowing, and he has an enemy, Satan, who's busy. He spoke of the mustard seed, how this which begins small grows and becomes so great. And then we spoke of the leaven, a picture always in the New Testament of false teaching and of how false teaching has so penetrated through much of Christendom and the tragedy that there is, because many times people may go into a church expecting to hear the Word of God, and instead they hear it being attacked, they hear the miraculous being explained away, and instead of their faith being strengthened, they go away disillusioned. They go away with nothing. And this happens time and again. And Jesus warned. And he says the truth is that false teaching, like yeast, is going to penetrate through much of Christendom. Now we come to an interesting parable. And let me just suggest these last parables now are spoken to the disciples inside. The first four parables were spoken to the multitudes outside. And they emphasize the appearance of things as we see it here in this life. But in verse 36 of Matthew 13, it says, he left the multitudes and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. So now they're inside the house, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and it's a more intimate situation, and it's a situation now where it's not going to be just a matter of the crowd as a whole listening. This is teaching now that is just going to be primarily for his disciples, and the others are on the outside. And this now then is this intimate teaching that he brings to his own. Let me read the parable. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. A man goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. What's Jesus talking about? Who is the man? What's involved here in this whole thing? As he speaks here of the field and the man going out to buy. Now some would say, well, this pictures the sinner who's seeking for the truth of God, the sinner who's seeking for the gospel, and the sinner now who goes out and gives up everything as far as the world is concerned in order that he may get this truth of the gospel. Well, I'd like to suggest that really isn't the picture you find in the Bible. This isn't the picture you find of man in general. Man in general is not pictured as seeking for God and looking for Him and willing to give up everything in order to come to know God. But man in general is pictured as running from God. Look at Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned. What happened? Was the man out walking around saying, God, where are you? Was the man deeply concerned? Was his wife Eve? Were they saying, we must see God and we must get this thing straightened out? Not at all. They were hiding. They weren't looking for God. The picture is not given at all of a man who is concerned to find God and willing to give up everything in order to know Him. The picture instead is that God comes into the garden and He looks for man. And He says, Adam, where are you? And He's calling for the man. He's seeking for the man. He's concerned to find him and to straighten out this problem, this tragedy into which he's fallen. And let me say that I think that picture is what you find all the way through Scripture. People are not basically seeking God. All have gone astray. They've turned everyone to his own way. There's none that seeks after God. And this is the picture. So I don't think that this parable pictures a sinner who is willing to give up everything to buy the truth of God and to become right with God. I know when I became a believer, I wasn't really looking for God. I was unhappy. But I didn't go to a church building and, you know, cry out and say, look, I want to find out what this is all about. I want to know God. Instead, a man of God came to our house and brought the message of the gospel to me. And this was the way that I came to know God. It was not through my searching for Him. He was searching for me. And so as we think of these parables, let's keep that in mind, and we're going to look further at that and develop this truth further. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field.